Hey, Raymond here from the Beginner Photography Podcast, and today we're going to talk about why you shouldn't listen to what anyone says about photography, including me. Okay, let's get into today's episode.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your photography skills. Raymond interviews the world's top photographers in their field to ask questions that will get you taking better photos today. Now, with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodger fan, and Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this week's episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. I'm Raymond Hatfield, your host. And right now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you went to a close friend. And this friend, you trust. And this friend, they also teach photography. They're an educator of photography. And you decide to share some photos with them to get their feedback. And they send you back a 12-paragraph essay outlining everything that you did wrong with your photos and why you don't have, quote-unquote, it to make it. How would you feel? You would feel devastated, right? I know I would feel devastated if this happened to me. And unfortunately, this is exactly what happened this week to one of the members of the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, Kimberly. Kimberly shared, you know, her heartbreak in this post. I was kind of surprised when I saw it because it's one of those things that criticism is something that we get a lot of early on and it can really hurt us. And yet there hasn't really been a ton of members who have shared personal stories of criticism that they got and wanted to share it in a way that Kimberly did. So she shared her heartbreak in this long post and she shared exactly what happened to her. And what she said is that, you know, when she got this 12-paragraph essay, just of criticism after criticism after criticism of everything that she did wrong with her photos, she said, "I've never been sensitive like this to feedback, but then again, I've never done anything creative or subjective like photography before." And that makes this criticism so much harder for her because she's right. Photography is subjective. It's totally subjective. We view the world with our eyes and we tell our cameras how to capture it. And that is how we share. We are artists. And when we create these photos, we become vulnerable because they're ours. They're like our children. If somebody came up to me and said, "Wow, your kid is a jerk," I'd be like, "What? I clearly did something wrong in my parenting here," because I'm vulnerable, because I created that child. We're vulnerable. We are weak when it comes to sharing our work. We are fragile when it comes to the feedback, and we're devastated when we get this sorts of negative feedback from anyone. Regardless, if you have 1,000 people telling you that they love you and that they adore your work, if you get one person that says that your photos are not good and they are terrible, you somehow, in our, you know, brains that are just jerks, we completely forget about the other 1,000 people who love our work and what it is that we do. And that's, you know, that's something that goes on in the brain. I can't help it when that happens, but it does happen. So now what, right? And if you are new to photography and you don't have those 1,000 close fans or, you know, people who enjoy your work, that criticism from that one person just gets amplified 1,000,000 times. So I want to share for just a second a list of people who were called failures. So the first on this list is Elvis. Elvis was called a failure. Early on in Elvis's career, he went to go perform at the Grand Ole Opry, and he was told by the stage manager, I guess, or the talent manager, that he should just give up and go back to driving trucks for a living. Straight up. "You know what, Elvis? you suck. You're going nowhere. You should just go back to driving trucks because this is garbage. He didn't, obviously. Next is Walt Disney. Walt Disney was fired from the Kansas City Star newspaper because, quote, he apparently, I guess not a quote, because he apparently didn't have enough imagination or good ideas. Lucille Ball. Lucy. I love Lucy. One of the most iconic TV shows of the 50s and 60s. Lucille Ball, her own acting instructor, said that she was no good and begged her to find another profession. Marilyn Monroe. You say that name pretty much anywhere in the world, and people know who you're talking about, right? You know, I guess as long as they're older than probably like 20 now. Maybe it's kind of, maybe she's becoming, you know, falling out of the zeitgeist. But Marilyn Monroe is very popular, very famous for her looks, right? And yet Marilyn Monroe was told very early on in her career that she was too full-figured to ever make it as a model. And that she should just become a secretary. because who cares what secretaries look like, apparently, right? Horrible stuff. But this one gets me, this next one. Vincent Van Gogh. Vincent Van Gogh is a name that you know, that you've heard of, that you know his work. Even if you can't name, you know, one of his paintings off the top of his head, off the top of your head, you will know it if you see it. His most famous is definitely Starry Night, right? Dark Night, moon, stars, beautiful photo, right? Vincent Van Gogh died an unknown painter. Nobody knew who he was. He had been painting for 35 years. Every single day. Every single day he painted. For 35 years. Made thousands of pieces of work. And only sold throughout his entire life one piece. He only sold one painting of his. And it was to a friend of his for next to nothing. It wasn't until he died, obviously, that he became very recognized and one of the most well-known painters the world over. Just think about the amount of criticism that he would have had to have gone through his entire life to be painting every single day for 35 years. And this wasn't just like a hobby. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, no, I just kind of paint on the side. He actively tried his entire life to become a working portrait painter, professional painter. His entire life he worked for it. Time after time, he kept getting told no. He kept getting told this is not good enough. Nobody wants to buy this. This is garbage. 35 years until he died. He only sold one to his friend, his buddy. Just down the street. I don't know if he was down the street, but imagine, think about that. Might as well just be like a family member who's buying it out of sympathy, right? For next to nothing. And now the last one is Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg, the director of some of the most iconic movies of the past 30 years, right? Jaws, Jurassic Park, E.T. Steven Spielberg was rejected. Schindler's List, can't forget Schindler's List. Steven Spielberg was rejected from USC's film program 3 times because he wasn't good enough. Before he said, forget this, and he went to another film school to learn. Or he went to another school to learn film. 3 times he was rejected because he wasn't good enough. Now, all of these people have the exact same thing in common. It doesn't matter if they were a filmmaker, or a painter, or a model, or an actress, or an illustrator, or a musician. All of these people have the exact same thing in common, and that was that they loved doing something. They were passionate about what they did, and they did it every single day, and they weren't going to take no for an answer. And yet, somehow, a single person, one person, became a sort of gatekeeper and decided to label them as bad. And just go ahead and just do something else. Just get out of my face. Go do something else. You have no talent. Get out of here. Right? One person decided this. One person. But these people did not stop. the Steven Spielberg, Vincent Van Gogh, Marilyn Monroe, Lucille Ball, Walt Disney, Elvis. Now, all of these people, except for Vincent Van Gogh, became successful. Why did they become successful? Because they didn't listen to that one person, right? They didn't give up because quitting something that brings you joy was just simply not an option for them. They weren't going to do it. They kept going, and eventually they found their voice and their stride in their work, and people loved it. See, 50 years ago, nobody would have known who Steven Spielberg was in the film community, right? And maybe when he first started, he was told, like, this is garbage. You're not going to amount to anything, and I'm not going to let you into this school, right? But when you're very early on, you don't have your voice yet. You don't. You just don't have the experience. You don't have the work that you put in to have your voice, to know what it is that you're trying to say. So these quote-unquote gatekeepers are making decisions with no context as to whether somebody is good or not. And thankfully, these people did not give up because they weren't doing it for the money or the fame. I don't know. I don't know these people personally. Maybe they did. But regardless of that, they had to have enjoyed doing it because you can't go 30 years or more doing something that you hate, you know, just for a paycheck at the end, hopefully. I couldn't do that. Maybe somebody could, but I don't think that any of these people did because they clearly had works of art that they wanted to share with the world. They had stories that they wanted to tell through their work, regardless of if it was Walt Disney or Elvis or even Marilyn Monroe, right? Regardless of any of that, they all had something that they wanted to share with the world that they loved doing, and they kept going. They didn't let that one gatekeeper get in the way. I read a quote this week in this book that I'm reading called Selling the Invisible. It's by Harry Beckwith. And the book is about selling things like services, right? If it's not a tangible product, it's invisible. So how do you sell these things that people can't see? And the quote was, there are no answers, just informed opinions. And that right there, I had to stop. I had to stop right there and like think about that. I had to process that information. There are no answers, just informed opinions. And I think, I was thinking about it, if you make just that small mindset shift to believe that, and I do, I believe that wholeheartedly, that there's no answers, just informed opinions, then suddenly, when you get feedback, like what Kimberly got in 12 paragraph essay form, that it'll be so much easier not to take it personally. Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit. You will have a better understanding that everybody is different when you make this mindset shift, and that their opinions are just that. Their opinions. All these people before, opinions. Hey, Elvis, I don't like your dancing. That's his opinion. Hey, Walt Disney, yeah, you don't have any good ideas. All you want to do is draw cartoons all day. That's his opinion. Lucille Ball, you know what, Lucy? Nobody's going to find this funny. That's their opinion. Marilyn Monroe, you're too full-figured. According to who? Their opinion. Vincent van Gogh. Well, apparently that was everybody's opinion, but after he died, people were like, oh, we're dumb. And then Steven Spielberg. One person, one, you know, admissions director or whatever, decided, you know what? I don't like films about puppies, or whatever it was. Whatever he decided to make a short film on. And therefore, you're not good. And that was his or their opinion. And their opinion could change from day to day, right? All of these people, these singular people, their opinions could change day by day based on whether their dog spilled the food bowl in the morning, right? And you woke up, you're already late, dog food everywhere. Oh, damn dog, now you're angry for the whole day, right? Or, you know, if the toaster broke and now your toast is broken. That happened to me the other day. I was kind of upset about like this really nice like loaf of sourdough bread and then the toaster ruined it. Oh, so mad. Or their opinions could also change if they get to their desk and there's flowers at work, right? Like, wow, look at these beautiful flowers. Somebody thought of me. They got me flowers. This is so nice, right? I'm going to be in a good mood. So all that this means is that people's opinions are not unbiased. And that I would be willing to bet that if you took the same photos and had them critiqued by somebody who was having a beautiful day, like a great day, their criticism would not be as harsh. Because there's no answer. There's no right or wrong answer. It's not like if you have a bad day, 2 plus 2 suddenly equals 6. Or if you have a great day, 2 plus 2 equals 4, right? It doesn't change. It does not change. 2 plus 2 will always equal 4, regardless of the day that you are having. And when it comes to art, that is simply just not possible. That is not possible because it all depends on somebody's opinion, even if it's an informed opinion. And this was the case, you know, obviously with Kimberly, where she gave her work to a photography educator, a person of authority. And her work got ripped apart. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I'm not saying here that, you know, everybody's photos are roses and rainbows, you know. But I will, you know, not every photo in the world is a great photo. But I will say that the people who are photographing roses and rainbows probably first started taking pictures of dirt and garbage, you know, like photographers who are taking beautiful, pretty photos, you know, that are enjoyable to look at, probably did not start off that way. They had to start somewhere else because it takes time. It takes a lot of time to figure out what you personally want to shoot. Okay. That takes a lot of time in and of itself. Do you want to shoot families? Do you want to shoot commercial work? Going deeper, do you just want to shoot beverages? Going deeper, do you just want to shoot clear beverages? It takes a lot of time to figure out what it is that you personally want to shoot. And then once you figure that out, it is going to take even more time to figure out how you want to tell your own story. Because telling the story that you want to tell is inside of you. There's no answer, right? Even if somebody said, photograph that thing like it's angry. Angry is going to mean something different to you than it would a Buddhist monk, right? Those two things can be photographed, or that one thing can be photographed entirely differently. So you have to figure out what it is that you want to shoot, and you have to figure out, more importantly, how you want to tell the story that you want to tell. And I know that I've talked about this on the podcast before, the experiment that Canon did, Canon the camera manufacturer, where they invited 10 photographers to photograph the same person in the same place, and all of their photos looked entirely different. Why? Why, if you showed up and you're like, hey, here's this man. He's going to sit right here. This is the location that we're in. We got some beautiful light. Go ahead and photograph it. Why are 10 different photographers taking 10 different photos? Like, completely different photos. It is because everyone tells a story differently. But again, it takes time to figure out how you want to tell the story in your own way. And in Kimberly's case, while I think that the criticism was overly harsh, I do, and I told her this part, I don't think that she has been shooting long enough to know how to tell the story that she wants to tell through her work. Why does that matter? Because suddenly, it doesn't matter what anybody else's opinion is, because they're not properly judging your work. Your work cannot be properly judged, or I guess her work can't be properly judged by anybody but her, because Kimberly's going to be the only person who knows if this photo turned out exactly how she wanted it, or if it's just a beautiful photo that she happened to take. Again, there are no answers. Even in photography, there are just informed opinions. So, here comes the actionable part of this podcast. It's not all woohoo, rah, rah, let's go type stuff. Here are some actionable tips that you are going to take away today. How can you tell if criticism is constructive or if it is being hurtful? People can come off all the time and just say harsh words. You're ugly. Well, that's just my opinion. You know, that's just my piece of criticism. Take it, you know, however you want it. It's like, whoa, that's not a piece of criticism. That is hurtful. That is a personal attack on somebody, and that's hurtful. So how can you tell? But yet they can, you know, put it behind the veil of, no, it's just criticism, which is BS. So how can you tell if criticism is constructive or if it is hurtful? The first thing is you need to ask yourself, is what they said, is something specific being acknowledged? And if so, was it brought up by other people? If somebody keeps bringing up, you know what, your photos are just really underexposed. You know, it doesn't feel moody. It just feels underexposed. It feels like it was improperly shot. And somebody else says something very similar. Okay. Multiple people have seen it. Now you have to ask yourself, was that done intentionally or not? Are you trying to achieve a moody photo? Or was the brightness in your camera set all the way high so you felt like you had to stop down in order to get a proper exposure, only to find on the computer that it was actually just underexposed? You know, that is good criticism. You know, that's when you ask yourself, like, oh, okay, yep. No, I mean, I was trying to get something darker, but this is just clearly a mistake right here. So the next thing is the person who is giving this criticism, are they asking questions or are they just making statements? Somebody who asks questions is trying to learn more and get more proper context to frame their thoughts. A person making hard statements is not interested in your feelings or seeing your growth. If somebody says, oh, this photo is way too dark, I don't like this at all. That was probably really loud. That's not helpful at all. If somebody says, hey, were you shooting in manual? Were you shooting in aperture priority? Oh, you were. Were you using the exposure compensation dial? Oh, you were. Okay. Well, were you trying to achieve this look of, you know, moodiness? What were you trying to go for? And then suddenly, okay, yeah, I like this photo. However, I do think that it is underexposed, because now you can take that, right? If you find, oh, this part was a mistake, now I'm going to address the rest of it because they understood this. They know that it was a mistake. I don't have to reference it. We can talk about the other aspects of the photo instead of the one quote-unquote wrong thing being the main subject of the criticism. Next. Does what the other person is saying, does it make sense, even if it doesn't feel good? if, you know, this one, you have to be a little bit honest with yourself. You know, the criticism, it will hurt no matter who gives it, to tell you the truth. But you got to ask yourself, does it make sense? If a lot of people are saying, you know what, this photo is just underexposed and I don't think that it works for this photo. Or this photo's too dark and it's no good. You know, if people are saying things like this, it's a statement, sure. But you got to ask yourself, does it make sense? Does it make sense, right? Did you go out there and you accidentally screwed up the exposure compensation and you did shoot everything underexposed? Is what they're saying make sense even though it stings inside? Then you can take their information, kind of separate out what does make sense and what doesn't make sense, and then focus on your growth. Okay, and then the last thing is the criticism coming from the right person? So just because me, Raymond, I know photography and I make a living by shooting weddings, it does not mean that I am the right person to give feedback or, you know, advice on taking newborn photos. I can give general suggestions maybe about lighting or even possibly composition, but that's going to be about it. So while I may be a quote unquote professional photographer, somebody who has just been shooting newborns like straight for like a month is going to know way more about newborn photography than I do. So even though I've been shooting, you know, 10 plus years, doesn't mean that I'm the right person to be giving feedback on this specific type of photography. So is the person who you are asking the right person to get criticism from? Okay, that's it. Those are the questions that you ask yourself and determine whether or not it's good or bad criticism. And you might be getting criticism about things like composition or lighting. But again, if you do these things intentionally, then screw it. You did that on purpose. You know, take their opinions, you know, decide whether or not you want to change the way that you shoot or not, and then move on. That's it. If you didn't do it intentionally, well, then you're still growing. And then you take that criticism and you move on, and then you can apply it to your work in the future. That's it. That's all that it is. So I want you to think about all of this, everything that I've talked about in the last 27 minutes and 17 seconds. I want you to take it all in. And if you get criticism, don't respond to it right away. You got to take a day to process it because, as I said, I've received criticism plenty of times in the past and it hurts. And I still go through this framework, right? Were they the right person to give me this criticism? Are they asking questions? Or are they making statements? You know, I've gone through all of this and still, even going through all of it, it can still hurt. So take a day before you think about whatever the next move is, because if you don't, you're going to go right away and be like, you know what, buddy? You know, I don't like you or whatever. I was going to say something else there, but I didn't. So, You got to take the time, because if you just go in it right away and just start firing back your response, you're going to lose every single time. So take a day to process the information. And in the meantime, you know, maybe while you're taking that day break, like, oh man, I just got this email from somebody who hates my photos. Maybe in that meantime, before you respond to them, I would love to invite you to come and join the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, obviously. It's, as you can tell from this episode, hopefully, it's a very safe place for somebody to be able to come and share information like this, like Kimberly did. You don't do that in a place where you're going to get criticized for not doing everything perfect or you know, being new to photography. You're not going to get criticized for things like that. It's a very helpful group, a very supportive group. There's almost 70 comments, you know, trying to help Kimberly out here. And it wasn't just things saying like, no, you're photos are good. It's like, you know, actionable tips to help her decide whether or not, you know, that criticism was worth it or not. And that's where this episode came from. And it is so beneficial, I think, for you to be able to hear something like this. Because at some point, you will be criticized for your work. What you do next is going to be up to you. So like I said, in the meantime, I would love to invite you to come and join the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group. You can find it on Facebook. You just search for Beginner Photography Podcast. You will find it. And then you can go ahead and ask to join the group, request access. And then that's it. You will be in. You will be in this group of supportive and helpful other photographers who are on their own path in this photography journey of theirs, who can hopefully help you and share experiences from everybody. So that is it, guys. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you did, I would be so forever grateful if you just took a second and subscribed to the podcast so that you get more great episodes like this one here. So that is it. Until next week, I want you guys to get out there, keep shooting, focus on yourself, stay safe, and focus on yourself. And that's it. I'll see you next week. Love y'all.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please leave us a review in iTunes or your favorite podcast player. And continue the conversation with Raymond and other listeners of the podcast by joining the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group today. Thank you. We'll see you again next week.